All right, let's pray. We'll jump in the lesson. Dear y'all, we just bless you, bless your name. We just thank you as you are our Father, and we glorify you for being our God. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on today, and we just bless you for it. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. The mouse pad. There's some things I want to cover I'm in the last two books of Zechariah, and we'll just kind of move around in those two books on the night. Just take a look at some things. A lot of things associated in Zechariah chapter 13 and 14 deals with the future, and so what we're about to look at will be some detailed events of some things that will happen in the future, and we'll just start at Zechariah 13 verse 1, and again we're moving to chapter 14. And there are some things that we'll answer, especially if there are some information that you've heard about what we're going to be covering on tonight. You'll get a chance to, by leading of the Spirit of Yah, to see things the way He intended. So Zechariah chapter 13 verse 1 says, "In that day," anytime you see "in that day," it is referring to a future event, especially when you look at Zechariah here is revealing some things that Yah has shown him, and then at the same time we'll see these things. And so when you see "in that day," remember it always refers to the future. But sometimes it'll say "in that day" in the scripture, but it'll mean the future as far as the book is concerned, but it'll be our history. And so we just have to make sure that we pay attention to that. But again, "in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yah of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of Yah." There's going to come a day when our relationship is going to be so important with Yah, to the point to where you're going to have a mother and father who's willing to, who's willing to allow their child not to live because they are not lining up with the things of the kingdom of Yah. And so it's going to be just, that serious. And we as a nation are going to be cleaving, holding on to Yah so much to the point to where we're not going to allow anything to manifest within our nation that is outside the divine purpose and will of Yah. So if a person is saying, "I'm a prophet," we're going to be willing to we're going to be willing to get that person off of the earth, so to speak, you know. And you see that even in the Old Testament when members of our nation were disobedient, they were cut off. And that's the thing that Yah is going to be doing again in the future. It's going to be so strict. It's not going to be a burden, but it's just going to be a strict way of life. You know, something that, you know, I'm very much looking forward to. And so it's not going to be a burden or anything like that. You know, it's just that it's going to be clear cut. Those who truly want to live for Yah, this is going to be easy. And those who don't, you know, there's going to be some things happening and people are going to be getting cut off. Imitators not going to be able to make it in these days. We're going to have to be sincere in walking in spirit and in truth. Verse 3 said, it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of Yah. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. It's going to be that serious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he has prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. You know, and when you look at that as far as our day and time, there's a certain, you know, dress code that a lot of preachers try to wear in order to be identified as a man or a woman of the cloth, so to speak. You know, whether it's the collar and, you know, different things like that. But it's going to come a day when people are going to be very careful about making those claims because things is going to be so much in order. Yahshua, calm down. Things are going to be so much in order, you know, it's going to be, you know, difficult, and people are going to be ashamed to make claims and to claim that they have a relationship with Yah, that they see things and they hear things and stuff like that. You're not going to see those things taking place. Verse 5 says, but he shall say, I am no prophet. I am a husbandman. I'm nothing but a gardener, you know. You got a lot of gardeners in the pulpit now. I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. In other words, it's just pointing out that things are going to be, you know, so strict that even when friends get out of order, you're going to have other friends correct them. That's the way our nation was. We understood that when one person sinned in Israel, all Israel sinned. And so we were excellent at being our brother keeper. You know, you don't see that nowadays. It's like, you know, the way Christianity is set up. You know, you come to the altar and you got Jesus and you saved and you're on your way to heaven and you ain't got to worry about nobody else. Well, that's not how our nation was molded. You can go look at the example as far as Achan is concerned. You know, when Achan sinned, and, you know, because Achan sinned, it caused our whole nation to sin. And it caused us some serious issues when it came down to AI. And so we have to make sure, or these things are going to be in place again. We're going to be making sure that all of us are lining up and walking in the divine will and purpose of Yah. Okay. Verse 6 says, and one shall say unto him, but what are these wounds in thine hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Then it goes on to say, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith Yah of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Now, when you see this here, this gives us an example or a foreshadowing, although it's our history, it starts to give us an understanding of some things in reference to leading up to this future event that's even going to have an effect on us. It starts to deal with the Zechariah's future, but at the same time, it is our history when he says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow," saith Yah of hosts. "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hands upon the little ones." When you look at this passage starts to deal with a time when Rome, it's our history, but at the same time, it's Zechariah's, is speaking of something that would happen in the future. When Rome invaded our nation, our homeland, and it happened at a time frame after the crucifixion of Christ. And so when you look at verse 7, it is dealing with Christ being crucified, and that's why when you look at the book of Daniel, Daniel 9, verse 27, I think. This is a prophecy that also coincides with Zechariah chapter 13. But Daniel 9 verse 27 said, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous time." Well, you can go look at other books. You can see when the temple was rebuilt, when the decree was given by Cyrus to allow our nation to go back and to rebuild the temple and things like that. And so that's dealing with that time frame when it's saying to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah. So it gives us 69 weeks basically. And then it says the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous time. Well, you can go see we had issues building that temple. Matter of fact, rebuilding the city. Matter of fact, members of our nation would have to have a tool in one hand and they would have the hand on the other sword. On their sword. And so this was in troublous time. But then verse 26 says, "And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off." Thus, when you look at Zechariah 7, it says, "Awake, O sword, against the shepherd." He's the shepherd of Israel. Okay. "Shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, says Yah of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall scatter." Shall be scattered. Well, when you look at after the Messiah was cut off, not too long after that, our nation was scattered. Rome came in and destroyed the city, destroyed the temple and things like that, and so our nation fled into the mountains of Africa. And so, as you see it here, it is comparing these two books where you see these prophets, Daniel and Zechariah, are talking about the same story. They're just speaking variations of it, okay? And so, again, verse 26 to the left of the screen saying, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." He died for mankind. He died for mankind as a whole, but at the same time, he came to reach the house of Israel first. It says, "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood." Flood always symbolizes armies. And unto the end of war, desolations are determined. Okay. And so as we see it here and then move to the right of the screen, it says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith Yah of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones." Little ones. The city was destroyed. Okay. Our nation fled. And so as you see the little ones, it said, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, said Yah of hosts, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein." And then it goes on saying, I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yah is my God. So when you look at when this happened to our nation, looking to the left of the screen, Daniel 9, verse 26, after the Messiah was cut off and the city was destroyed, well, from that time frame, you start looking at Israel being cut off. So Israel has been destroyed or cut off as a nation since the time we fled Jerusalem in 70 AD. We've constantly been dying as a nation of people. And when it's all said and done, you're going to see the remnant of Israel that is going to come out of all of this. And we're going to be tried, as the scripture said to the right of the screen. The third part is going to come through the fire. We're going to be refined. And once we are refined, then we're going to start crying out, okay? And that's why verse 9 says to the right of the screen, "I will bring the third part through the fire, and we refine them as silver is refined, and we'll try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name." We have awakened through all these generations of being in captivity from the time frame when the Messiah. When the Messiah was cut off, when he was crucified, and then our city and our temple was destroyed, and we fled into the regions of Africa, and we were all over Africa, and then we're scattered from there all over the world, fulfilling the prophecies of Isaiah and Zechariah and Jeremiah, all these different prophets, and then also what Christ said in the book of Matthew and Luke and some of the other books. And so when you see these prophecies that are being fulfilled, we are being, for lack of a better way to put it, we are being terminated as a nation of people to bring about the prophecy of the one-third. So it's not something in the future that is happening to Israel where it's saying in the future, Israel is going to be, two-thirds of Israel is going to be cut off. No, Israel has been cut off since Zechariah has given the prophecy. And it happened in 70 AD. Israel is being cut off, and two-thirds is being cut off, and one-third will make it through the fire. And so when we make the disconnect is when we look at the scripture, we often think that, well, this is something as far as our future is concerned. No, it is Israel combined throughout the time frame where Zechariah is saying it. He's talking about the day is going to come when Jerusalem is destroyed, the little ones are going to be turned over and become a spoil to these nations. And when that take place, they're going to flee, and some are going to flee, and some are going to remain in the city. Two-thirds are going to be cut off and die, and the one-third is going to remain. Well, we're seeing those events still materializing to this very day. Israel is being cut off. And when it's all said and done, and we look at it according to Scripture, only one-third of Israel is going to survive out of all the members of our nation throughout this time frame that Zechariah is talking about here. Okay, so it says, verse 8, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land," saith, you
trying to say? So does that mean it's not going to be an influx of us dying? It's just going to continue to happen like it is?
It's continuing to happen. Now, we may see increases of that because the more the time frame comes to be fulfilled of this, then you're gonna see things get bolder and bolder from a perspective of what's happened to us as a people. And you see that now. I mean, you know, the incident of Mr. Floyd hadn't changed nothing. So, you know, so people, you know, they marched, they talked about Black Lives Matter, they did all these things, and, you know, they for lack of a better way to put it, somewhat gave a conviction of an individual, but I don't know where that man is. You know, you never know how this system is working nowadays, and so as a result of that, you're seeing things increase. You're seeing things be more open, you know. And, you know, it's always happened to us as a people. You're just seeing it being more and more open. And it's and because we have all these media outlets, it's not just happening in America. Same thing happening in other countries, getting treated the same way. So Israel is being persecuted. We are in tribulation as Israel. So you get, you know, the Christian church will say, well, the tribulation starts, you know, when the church is raptured and taken to heaven. No, Israel has been in tribulation since the time we fled our homeland in 70 AD. It's called Jacob's Trouble. We've been in Jacob's Trouble ever since we fled our homeland. And we're going to continue on through that until our Messiah returned to gather us as a nation. And we'll read these books in Zechariah 13 and 14, and it'll show this here. I'm just showing Daniel 9 has a connection to that. So did you have something else to go with that? Okay. Now, verse 8 says, it shall come to pass that in all the land, said Yah, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire. So when you see this right here, it says, it shall come to pass in all the land. When you look at in all the land, it's not necessarily saying just Jerusalem. Okay? And it shall come to pass that in all the land, said Yah, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein all the land. Israel scattered all over. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name. See, the trying is causing Israel to really seek Yah. Because we see that there are no outlets. There is no justice in the entire world when something happened to a member of our nation. It's just looked at as it's no different from, matter of fact, I'll say it's less than killing an animal. You know, because it, you know, these nations care about animals. Kill a dog you want to and see what's going to happen. And so we're treated less than animals. And so when you look at that taking place, we're being tried. But that trying now, and if you start checking this information out, if you think I'm kidding, a lot of Israelites are coming out of churches. A lot of them are coming out of churches. They're saying, man, I don't want that no more. I'm tired of that. Because Yah is waking Israel up, and Israel is seeking him for truth. They're wanting a relationship with him, and they're tired of all the stuff that goes on with this church stuff. You know, showing up, hear the preacher preach, and then you get your money and try to figure out how to have another service to get your money kind of deal. You know, people are fed up with it, and so they're leaving the church or Mystery Babylon to a certain extent. And so as we go on to chapter 14 now, it says, verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. Christ is returning. Yah is returning with him. Okay. Then shall Yah go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. when you look at the day of ballot, it's referring to mainly Egypt, but Yah always showed up in battles when our nation was in certain situations. He did it with Egypt, he did it with Syria, he did it with Babylon, you know, Medo-Persia, so on and so forth. Okay? And then it says, and his feet shall stand in that day up on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And it shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yeah, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the day of Uzziah, king of Judah. Our nation fled when this earthquake happened. And Lord my God, so you see it here, and it says, and the Lord my God, that's Yah himself. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. So when you look at what Christians call the second coming of Christ, God himself is coming also. God is coming also. And it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. It's a sign. That's why when we look at other scriptures talk about Matthew 24. To the right of the screen, when you look at other scriptures, it says, I want to deal with verse 28 because that's a whole nother lesson in itself. I'll just say just a little bit and then I'll leave it alone. I'll start at verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So when you look at verse 28, and I'll just expound on it a little bit. When you look at verse 28, where it's talking about the eagles are gathered in the carcasses, it deals with the one left and the one taken parable. Christians think that when you're taken, it means that you're raptured. But the Bible says when you're taken, it means you're killed. Because when Christ gives the example of this, when he's talking about the parable of this, and so the disciples ask him, they said, well, where are they going? He says this verse here, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. So Christ was telling the disciples, the one, two will be grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. They said, well, where's the one taken? Where is he going? Where the eagles be gathered? That where the carcass be. Death. So just to give you an understanding of verse 28, you don't want to be taken in the last days. You don't want this Christian version of being caught up in the last days. Because that is a misunderstanding of what the scripture said. The scripture points out clearly that all those who are taken will be dying. They're going to be carcasses for the eagles to eat on. Okay? And so we have to make sure that we're, when we look at these scriptures, we don't just start guessing and things like that, but we were able to put these scriptures together and allow these things to be seen. So just to kind of show you here, I'm going to be lazy. When you run a cross reference on here, I'm gonna see if Luke 17 will do it. I'm gonna pull up another Bible. I think it may be Luke 17 that answers the question. To show you that you don't want to be taken in the last days. Don't get caught up into this Christian rapture. Because if you plan on being taken, trust me, it ain't where you ain't want to go where they're gonna be taken. Now, okay, here it is. Luke chapter 17 to the left of the screen. I'm just trying to see where I want to start. I just saw verse 33. Luke 17, verse 33. Joshua. Stop. Luke 17, verse 33 says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. Not meaning that they're two men actually laying together in the bed. That bed is a couch. Okay. So let's just break it down just to understand. You see it says couch. It says bed, Klein. It's a couch. It says for sleeping, sickness, sitting, or eating. Bed, table. So we have to understand it. We have to understand it's not saying, you know, you have, you know, two men sleeping in bed together and you have your mind all over the place. It's just giving us an understanding that you're going to have two men in the same area, couch, table, whatever. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Taken. Now, when we look at the word, taken, it says to receive near. Okay, by analogy, it says assume our office receive, but we understand the terminology as far as the word taken is concerned. I just wanted to look and see if it was something else there. Taken, the other shall be left. 35, two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Now, what do Christians say? The one that's taken, they rapture to heaven. That's why you see the airplane, the Left Behind movies, and the pilot flying, and then he taking, and the plane crash, all these cars crashing into each other. You see all that Christian stuff. Okay? Now, it says, two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord, where are they going to be taken? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. They dead, finna be eaten by eagles. That's why when the prophecy is given, the angel stands in the sun and call all the fowls of the earth to come for the great supper that Yah's preparing, because he finna destroy nations. And when he destroy those nations, those animals gonna eat those scavenger animals are going to eat the bodies of those dead horses and men. So when you look at people teach these things and they don't take and use the scriptures precept upon precept, line upon line, you got folks thinking, I'm going to be taken. You better not want to be taken in that day. You better want to be left. Okay. Pray that you be left. Now I understood, even when I used to hear it back in the day, I used to always say, and I didn't understand it, but it was just in my spirit, in my mental disposition. I used to always say, you know what, Yah, when the rapture took place, because I used to believe it. I used to say all the time, Yah, when the rapture take place, you can leave me. There's plenty of work to be done. Leave me. Take all the other folks to heaven. Leave me down here, boy. I can work. You can need somebody to work during that day. Leave me here. I used to say it all the time. I used to ask y'all to leave me. During the rapture, leave me here. So I can deal with all these folks who got all these questions that need to be answered. Because I know my salvation is securing you. So why would I want to go and dance on street paid with gold when I got people down here that's losing their lives and don't understand why we all were taken? When I believed that back then. I'm glad y'all that he's awakened me. And I'm like, nah, leave me for real. I really want to be left because of what I understand now. So the question here is direct. You see the example, and it always amazed me that nobody read verse 37. They always talked about two men in the bed. They always talk about two women grinding. They always talk about two men in the field. But nobody dealt with verse 37.
Well, they just didn't know what that meant.
Just walk right on over. Yes, true. Now, just to show you how, you know, it took years of studying to do it, but I'm going to show you how technology just makes it a whole lot easier. Let me see. Job 39, verse 30, if you can see it here. I'm not going to go. I'll tell you why. I just click on that so you can see it. It says, her young ones also suck up blood. And where the slain are, there is she. What? Let's go up and find out who that young one is. Let me get out of the cross now. Verse 26 of Job 39 said, doeth the hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Doeth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rocks, up on the crag of the rocks and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones, woo, this eagle, this hawk, scavenger birds. We don't eat those. We're forbidden to eat them. So all these animals that you see that are scavengers, they're getting ready to eat in the future. And they're going to get full. So it's giving you an example here. She dwelleth and abideth on, verse 28, on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and the strong place. From this she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck the blood, and where the slain are, there she is. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Where they going to be? One left, one taken. Where the ones going that are taken? The eagles going to eat them. So next time you hear somebody saying, I can't wait to be taken, caught up, say, no, you don't want to be a part of that party. And so now as we move back to the Zechariah 14 here, Zechariah 14 goes on to say, we'll just start at verse 3. It says, then Yah shall go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. The earth is going to change when Yah returns. You're going to see a changing of the face of the earth to a certain perspective, even around our own land. And half the mountain shall remove toward the north. Can you imagine a whole mountain moving? And half toward the south. Mountain just splitting. Okay? And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the day of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yah my God shall come, and all the saints with him. All those saints. See, all the saints with him. They're not dead. Our loved ones are not dead who are in Christ. They returned. Their physical body is in the grave, but they live eternal. They're eternal. We are eternal beings. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Okay? There are some things where the scripture talks about, especially when Christ returns, that there's going to be no more night, that the sun is going to be seven times as bright as what it is now. You think you can't stand the sun now, Just wait till it's 7 times brighter than what you see now. Okay. It shall be light. Verse 8 says, and it shall be in that day that living water shall go forth from Jerusalem. Half of them toward the former sea. That's the Dead Sea. One of these is Dead Sea. And half of them toward the Hinder Sea. In summer and in winter it shall be. You know, you get people that say, you know, you get people that say, well, it's getting to the point where you can't tell the difference between summer, winter, and fall. Now, the scripture always, the scripture said, why the earth remaineth, you know, it always be summer, winter, and spring and fall. Always. You know, what you got going on is mankind dealing with the atmosphere. Summer, winter, spring, and fall is just like y'all created it to be. And so anything that's not normal is because of what man has done with the, again, you know, they throw stuff in the air and mix it with the, you know, the atmosphere and it cause the rain and cause a whole lot of things to take place. And, you know, and all this, you know, it confuses the trees and stuff like that. That's man's doing. Y'all always, summer, winter, spring, and fall is eternal. They will exist throughout eternity. Okay, and so, you know, that's to be understood. Verse 9 said, and Yah shall be king over all the earth. Well, this deals with Christ too. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Okay, one Lord and his name one. It ain't gonna be all these different gods and things like that people, you know, worship nowadays. When Christ's kingdom is sit here with the kingdom of Yah, which Christ will rule, and sit here in the earth, it's going to be one Lord and one God. One Christ. Okay? Ain't going to be all this other stuff. Okay? Now, as a result of this, these are things that's going to take place. So when you see people that teaches that is going to be a rapture and then, you know, Christ is going to come back 7 years later and get the rest of the folks who didn't do right the first time, and everybody going to live in heaven. That goes against Zechariah 14, because Zechariah 14 is going to tell us how things are going to be when Christ is here on earth. Christ is going to live here on earth with us 1,000 years. Then after that, God himself is going to dwell here on earth. Okay? Zechariah is going to point out what's going to take place during these time frames. Verse 10 said, all the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place. For Benjamin's gate, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower toward Hananiah unto the king's wine presses. In other words, the way that, you know how the scripture says, a city that sits on the hill cannot be hidden? Well, this is going to be a fulfillment of the prophecy which deals with Jerusalem. As when Christ returns, our holy city is going to be, how can I put it? It is like it's going to be the cream de la creme. Wow, the way you want to put it, whichever way you want to look at it, to see that it's going to be awesome to look at, because everything around it is going to be made low and the city is going to be raised up high where you can see it from anywhere, and Christ is going to be there. And can you imagine the glory of the place where you have no daylight? I mean, you have no need of the sun in that city. The glory of Yah is going to be there. It's just so many things that's going to be going on as far as that is concerned. And so, you know, these things are going to be awesome when they take place. But look at what it says as a result of it, though. Verse 11. And men shall dwell in it. We're going back home. And there shall be no more utter destruction. but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Is it safely inhabited now? Because the people are not there. People of Yah are not there. And this shall be the plague wherewith Yah will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. It's one of the plagues. Now, when you look at this, you get people that often try to say this is some type of atomic weapon. They say, man, it must be some kind of, you know, atomic bomb or something like that's going to happen, because you know that's what normally happens when an atomic, you know, bomb or something hit. Now, the scripture tells you what this is. The scripture tells us what this is. When you look at other scriptures, 2 Thessalonians is one, I believe. 2 Thessalonians 2, we'll look at verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8 says, and then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, when you look at the word brightness, of his coming, the word brightness is manifestation, the appearing of his coming. A lot of people think that it's going to be just a whole lot of fighting. There are three ways by which Yah is going to destroy these armies so that the eagles can consume the carcasses. You're looking at the return of Christ just from the sure brightness of his coming. It's going to be like, for lack of a better way to put it, like an atomic bomb hitting these armies. Y'all going to destroy the Antichrist just from his sure presence. What did he say to Moses? Moses said, show me your glory. He said, look, I'll put you in the cleft of a rock and I'll show you my backside. Yah's glory is so powerful to the point to where flesh and bone can't stand in front of it. So when Yah appears, it's going to be like men standing in front of an atomic bomb. Can you imagine the splendor and the glory of our God is at such a level to the point to where man can't stand in the presence of him unless he allow it? We serve an awesome God. Okay? Now, we'll continue to move through the scriptures and show you the way that they're going to be consumed. So, verse 12 says, shows how they're going to be consumed. Verse 13 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that a great torment from Yah shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one his hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise against the hand of his neighbor. You're going to have those armies going to turn around and start fighting each other. Yah's son is going to destroy at the brightness of his coming. Going to destroy some. Then you're going to have such a confusion that nations are going to turn around and start fighting each other, killing each other. And look at what the third one says. The third one's in verse 14. It says, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. Sound like reparations to me. This is when Israel gets his reparation. Okay, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall the plague of the horse, the mule, the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. You know what? When you look at this verse, I'm I don't want to speculate, but I'm just saying, when you look at the scripture as far as what's literally going on here, it makes you wonder that if something going to happen in the earth in the near future or sometime, like, you know, that's going to cause us to have to go back to animals, camel and ash and horses and stuff like that. It just makes you wonder, is something going to happen that's going to cause us to go back to these things? Have to go back to these things. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, so take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, but it just makes you wonder for the scripture to mention that, you know, the plague of the horse, the mule, the camel, and the ass is associated with these armies, instead of, you know, pointing out. So people may say, well, that's symbolic for cars and stuff like that. I don't look at the Bible like that. I call it what it is. So if the Bible is saying that when these nations are going to be gathered against Jerusalem in these last days, then these are, it gives the impression that this is the type of transportation that it's going to be. So something may happen in the earth that will cause us to have to go back to those days. Where you, maybe you didn't have cars and this and that. It's just a thought when you look at it as far as what the scripture said would take place. Verse 16 said, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, see, left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, shall even go up year to year to worship the king. This is when you look at this here, this is in association with Revelation 20. That's why Revelation 20 says this. Verse 4 saying, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Yehoshua and for the word of Yah, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. Or in their hands, and they live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. You see that? When you look at that 1,000 years, and then when you look at what's taking place here, this is what mankind is going to be required to do after Christ is during the time frame Christ is reigning for these 1,000 years. Verse 16 saying, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacle. What is the Feast of Tabernacle? Let's just run the reference. I'm going to let you see it here. I hit the wrong one. What is the Feast of Tabernacle? Leviticus, speak unto the children of Israel, say the 15th day of the 7th month shall be a Feast of Tabernacles, 7 days unto Yah. You see it? Feast of Tabernacle again. That your generation may know I made the children of Israel to dwell in booth when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yah your God. This is dealing with our Passover and all these different things. All nations going to be made to recognize it. So you get people sitting here talking about, no, all this stuff has been done away with. It's in the Old Testament. Well, you better get ready to do it in the New Testament then. look what he said. So I'm going to get out of this one here. And you have to go year by year, okay, to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth. Who all have to come? All the families of the earth. Everybody in the earth. All the families that are left. Will have to come up. Come up to where? Come to Jerusalem. So this is going, when Christ returned, is the Bible telling you he's going to take us to heaven? Then why are they all gathered here on earth and in Jerusalem? Christ is returning here to stay. Christ is returning to stay. He's not coming to get no Christians and take them to heaven. He's coming to set his kingdom here on earth. In earth, I like to say. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. So if you got Americans, those who live here in America, we're going to be gathered back in our homeland then. Those who still living in America, that this is their lot, their homeland. Those who are living in America say, I'm not going to Jerusalem and worship. There's not going to be no rain in their land. It's going to be drought. It even says in verse 18, that if the family of Egypt, the Egyptians who will be back in their homeland, their lot. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, and that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacle. All families of the earth going to have to come keep the Feast of Tabernacle. Go back to the Old Testament and see what the Feast of Tabernacle, all what it entails. All families going to have to do it. All families of the earth. Look what it goes on to say again now. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, verse 19. And the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto Yah. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yeah, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto Yah. What they got pots for? Shall be holiness unto Yah of hosts. And all they that sacrifice, we still going to sacrifice in the future. It was sacrificing before the law, the law was given to our nation to do sacrifices for the sins, but we still going to do sacrifices throughout the millennia. When Christ here on earth, we still going to do sacrifices. It's just that all nations are going to have to come up and do it. Okay? So when you get these people that start saying, no, all that's been done away with, Israel don't have to do that no more. No, we Christians, we you better read this book. And ask Yah to unseal it and give us understanding. Verse 20. In that day shall there be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto Yah, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto Yah of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. What is seed? Cook. Boil. Sacrifice. Same thing we did according to the law. So when Christ set up his kingdom here on earth, Israel is going to be made to pass under the rod of that covenant. We're going to fall back in line with the law, statutes, and judgment. And the whole world is going to fall in line with those law, statutes, and judgment. Shall see therein, and in that day shall be no more the Canaanite. When you look at the word Canaanite, Canaanite means heathen. It's just metaphorically letting us know that the Canaanite who were a heathen nation or a Gentile nation not following Yah's law, statutes, and judgments, they were considered unclean, would not be allowed in the house of Yah of hosts. So that's when that word Canaanite, that's what that's saying. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite, no more the heathen in the house of Yah. In other words, you ain't going to have no folks coming to church playing church. Y'all going to get rid of the heathens. So I just said come to church playing church, but I'm talking about in the earth, you're going to have righteousness in the whole world. Righteousness in the whole world. Okay, Zechariah 8 tells that they're going to be grabbing the skirts of the, I think 8 and 13, they're going to be grabbing the skirt of the Israelites saying, we will go with you because we see that Yah is with you. during that time frame, you're going to see the gospel of Christ and the word of our God spread throughout the earth, and all mankind are going to live like that for 1,000 years until Satan is loosed again. So when we sit here and look at these two books, chapter 13 and chapter 14, and then when because I used to do it myself, I used to teach it. I used to teach we were going to be raptured. 7 years we were going to be in heaven, come back. I used to teach it, so I know like the back of my hand, so I know what I'm talking about. I used to teach it. Now Yah has revealed the truth, and I'm sitting up and saying, y'all, look at this. Here it is. How do we teach Zechariah 13 and 14 when we're all in heaven? When in the time in history did this happen? It hasn't, because it's our futures. What's going to take place as far as our future is concerned? And so that shed a whole different light on some stuff when it comes down to salvation. Him that endure to the end shall be saved. And I like saying this all the time. You know, all of us striving toward perfection, and none of us are perfect. But at the same time, we're striving, we're still growing, and we're learning. And as Yah reveal things, we should walk in those things that He revealed. But at the same time, Yah gonna straighten all of us out when this is all said and done. Because if we don't straighten out, you know, it's gonna be a whole lot of. You know, it's going to be a whole lot of folks. The parents are going to be saying, this joker crazy. We need to get him out of the You're going to have Pook and them cutting up in the house and causing issues and stuff like that. It's going to be righteousness in there. So, you know, I just wanted to, you know, to share that with you guys and just allow you to understand Zechariah 13 and 14. One more, I'm going to put... add two more, well, at least one more scripture with this. I just thought about, just so that you can understand when it mentions the consuming. The consuming is Revelations 20 verse 9. I can't remember if I read that one or not. Revelations 20 verse 9 says, "And they went up on the breath of the earth." And compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from Yah out of heaven and devoured them. That's how they're going to be, eyes going to be consumed in their sockets and the tongue in their mouth and all that. When that fire come down from heaven, that's what's going to do it. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah is a witness. Okay. And so so I just wanted to give you that extra scripture to go with that, just so that you can have it as part of your notes, okay? All righty, any questions, comments? If not, I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. All right, so I hope this, you know, gave you a better understanding of Zechariah 13 and 14, and to understand, you know, even a better understanding on what it means to be taken and one left, and, you know, just pray. Just pray to the Yah of hosts that you be left. Okay? Alrighty. We good? Okay. Let's pray. Father, Yah, we just bless you for your word on today, and we thank you for bringing us into another fast of understanding. Give us the wisdom to implement these things and to see things even more clearer as you reveal them. And we just thank you for who you are. And count it a privilege that you share your great wisdom with us. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.